Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
We had a home birth back in 2016.
So we started a podcast about it.
And then grew it into a birth brand to help future and current parents believe in their success with home birth.
This is the place to hear home birth stories along with helpful resources and tips to feel empowered and supported in your birth journey.
This is Doing It at Home.
Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Today is our second home birth story.
Woohoo! what an amazing moment we've come to.
Yes.
Where we're sitting here across from one another about to share the birth story of Naomi Rose Bivens.
Naomi Rose Bivens. We didn't know who she was.
No, we
didn't.
Until
the moment she came out. We didn't know what he or she. And we didn't know exactly the name, although we kind of figured that out a little bit towards the end. But
right at the last moment.
Yes, yes.
We also didn't know that it was going to take us 3 months to get to this point to record
the birth story.
How long did it take with Maya?
5 days.
Day five.
We sat in the bed with a recorder in between us.
She was on my chest.
Told the story.
Yep.
And it's funny because I'm sure a lot of parents can relate with different things in your life. It might not be recording for your podcast, but if it's pictures or things you might do, I think there is always just kind of the effect of second kid. things happen later or they don't happen or whatever. So I think it's a little bit second kid syndrome. Let's just say that. But then we've had a very different postpartum. I've had a very different postpartum healing journey. And just our whole process has been.
Life has been different.
Life has been different so much. And I feel like we'll get into that more in other conversations. Mm-hmm. I personally would love to sit down and have some chats and even maybe solo by myself talking about processing this postpartum. So we've been quiet. We haven't shared a whole lot. We haven't been out there in the world. We haven't published anything new. We haven't been on social media or sent out any emails really since sharing about the birth. And that was just an Instagram post to just share that she was here. So I'm sure we have listeners that don't have Instagram and so never even maybe saw that and maybe just heard through the grapevine or whatnot. But it's just been a personal choice to kind of be quiet and be nesting and then also to be healing and to be integrating because it's been a wild ride. And I want to give that its own conversation. I really do want to focus on the birth. And give that its space. And I'm glad it has been some time because honestly, if we were forcing or trying to do it before now, I don't think I would have felt as connected to the birth story because of the thick of things that we have been in and had been in really until about week 10 or so. It was really survival mode, fight or flight. If we did have a few spare moments, it was to
catch
sleep,
up on rest and
high five each other and
clean,
keep it moving.
Some dishes.
So
feed our other child.
Yeah. All of that to say that all in divine time. Yeah. So we are here. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for the space holding and all the love and well wishes, especially for those who did see when we made the announcement that baby Naomi is here. And here we are now. We're gonna share the story. We're gonna unpack it.
You know, it's funny. You had taken some great notes after the birth, and I was able to read them prior to this. And I'm like, okay, how much am I going to recall?
Right.
Because, you know, we've talked about the Naomi's birth a little bit, and we have some amazing photos to document everything.
We do. I'm
which is really
so
cool.
excited to share those.
We did a birth photographer.
We'll put
this time.
Those out finally. Yeah. I put one or two after she was born to just kind of share us all snuggled up in the bed, but I didn't want to share any of the labor or birth because I didn't want to give away too many details without us having been able to talk about them. Because yeah, there are some things about, you know, there's some things in the photos that will make sense once you hear the story. But I feel like if I had just posted those without context, there could have been some confusion or people might have had questions. And so this is where we can do all of that. Yeah.
So anyway, I was just saying, this will be interesting for me.
Yes.
You'll jog my memory. And we also have the notes from our midwives.
Yes.
We didn't have when we did Maya's birth story. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool to see their copious notes and what they were, you know, kind of noticing, keeping track of. So yeah, we got a lot of stuff. I'm excited to do this birth story.
Yeah. It's about time. Yeah. It'll be cool to have the side by side. So there's kind of my recollection and my note taking and through my lens. And then there's the actual, you know, time stamp of things going on as far as the stages of labor and then baby arriving. So I'll be kind of going back and forth between them. So let's go back in time. Let's get in our little time machine and go to Tuesday, November 29th. And I remember I wrote this down in my notes that I woke up that morning and had a conscious thought of today would be a really cool day to meet our baby. I'm not attached, but today would be a really cool day. And I remember saying that more than kind of any other day, especially around that time when you're like, I'm ready. And I was ready, y'all. I was very ready.
Yeah. How many weeks had it been at that
point? We were 40 weeks and 4 days.
40 at that point. On a Tuesday.
And yes. Yep. Yeah, okay. We had a midwife appointment, so we were excited about that. We went to that, and that conversation, most of it kind of hovered around, you know, how are we feeling, which is, was a lot of the appointments kind of towards the end when there wasn't a whole lot of logistical things to cover. It was just, how's everyone doing?
Just check-ins.
What do we want to, does anything we need to clear out? Any intentions we need to get clear on? It was just, it was a really great way to just continue to deepen that relationship in our team. And that's Debbie, who was our midwife for our birth with Maya, and then enter Amanda, who was an addition to the team this time and such a great addition. So we have Debbie and Amanda.
Amanda is a big part of the story.
Yes. Yep.
And it's one of the things I really enjoy about midwifery care is even at the end of the appointments where you were saying there wasn't a whole lot to discuss, we would still hang out with them for the full hour and talk. Mm-hmm. And Maya would play with the toys in the office, and we would just have that time to be with one another, knowing that we were preparing for this amazing experience.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. So we had that appointment, and one thing that was kind of a twist is Debbie wasn't feeling too well. She just was a little under the weather, so she was not present for that appointment.
Yeah,
and so we're chatting with Amanda about what's going on, and we had the discussion of a couple of things, like we're coming up on 41 weeks. So what does that mean once we hit week 41? And do we want to start discussing some natural induction measures? Do we make an appointment for an NST, a non-stress test, and an ultrasound? And then also let's talk about, say, labor does happen in the next day or two and Debbie is still not feeling very well. What do we want to choose? Would we prefer Debbie to not be there? Would we want Debbie there and she'd just kind of be in the background? How did we want to do that? And so we had conversations about all of that. It was important to me that so long as Debbie felt okay, I very much wanted Debbie there. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we put out there. I trusted them to make that call. And I really didn't want to make the NST and ultrasound appointment. I just really didn't want to. I kind of left the appointment a little bit like, ugh, I don't want to do that. I just kind of like
it was like thinking about, okay, if things don't go the way we want them to go,
yeah,
you know, it's like getting into those early next plans,
right?
And we neither of us wanted to go there even mentally,
right? And another notable thing about this conversation is we had homework, quote unquote, so to speak, and it was really just to relax and enjoy the time, of course, but it was to be intimate, it was to have sex, make love, sexual relations. And we were cool with that.
Yeah. We're like, great. That's awesome homework.
We were all right with that.
You got some extra credit too.
And yeah. And we left that appointment. I wrote, and I remember this too, feeling a little anxious, a little nervous, a little frustrated, even just thinking like, I don't want to go past the 41 mark and then have to start thinking about these things. I just don't want that. So we go home. We went for a really nice walk. We made some really nice love and rested. And then it came time for you to pick up Maya from school. And I think you were going to go take her out for a bit too, just to kind of spend some time with her and give me a little bit of time at home to rest. Mm-hmm. One thing to note about this time frame, and any of you out there who are fans or were a part of this experience, we love the World Cup. Love the World Cup. And it was going on at this time. And that made for a really fun, I'll always remember that, the towards the end of pregnancy and then even those first couple of days and weeks of postpartum, watching soccer matches, watching football matches. And the U.S. played Iran that day, the 29th. So I'm at home watching the game and you're picking up Maya from school. And to back up for 1 second, for about maybe 4 or 5 days prior to this, once or twice, I got some consistent contractions in the night.
And they would also... Wouldn't they also come in the early afternoon?
Yeah, they'd kind of turn off and on.
And it would go for a few hours, and then it would stop.
And it was nothing really to write home about.
But
it was enough to notice, yes, absolutely.
And it was the 4 or 5 days prior to the 29th. So we're talking like the 24th all the way up until the 29th.
Yes.
You would feel, for a small couple of hour window, contractions.
Right. And in case you don't want to sit and do the math of like 40 days and 40 weeks and 5 days, blah, 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 our guest date was the 25th. So I'll just share that. That was something I had never actually shared this specific date until now because it's a guest date. But the guest date was September 25th. So here we are now at the 29th. So I'm watching the match at home. You're out. And I noticed them start again. And we had kind of just gotten in the habit of when I started feeling that, let's just make note of the time. Mm-hmm. Let's just, you know, for purposes. So I wrote down at 2:22, I started to have a contraction. And they came pretty consistently for the next like 30 minutes or so. They were maybe like 7-8 minutes apart. I want to say sometimes it would jump up to like 12 minutes. But yeah. So I reached out to you after a couple of them and called you and said, hey, are you coming home? And you actually were. You guys were on your way back. And I said, great, because if you weren't, I want you home because these are kind of starting to develop some consistency here. And I just want you home. So you came home and we had a chiropractor appointment already scheduled for that day for the family. So that was already slated. So it was a full day of kind of self-care from the midwife appointment to chiropractor. And like 15 or so minutes before we were going to be leaving for this appointment, I was in the bathroom for a long while.
You weren't doing your nails though.
I was not doing my nails. I was pooping. I was cleansing my body. And that was something I very much remembered in Maya's early labor, like the early onset was pooping a lot. And so I thought, this might be it. This could be it. But I also didn't want to be set on that. And it's really interesting going into a second birth. And then I'm sure if you go third, fourth, and fifth, however many, if you do this or not, kind of do a little bit of comparison, do a little bit of framing, you have some idea, but it can also just be so different. So I really didn't want to hang my hat on anything specific and have it be it. So I stayed open.
I imagine that's got to be so hard.
It's tricky. It's a tricky mind game. Yeah.
Yeah. And think, was that it? Oh, is that what happened in the first time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went to the chiropractor. I had contractions on the way there. I had contractions while there. I was lying on the table and had to kind of get up and breathe through them. And Dr. Shannon, so amazing. I'm so glad she was there and could be a part of the experience too. She was adjusting me. And she said, yeah, I think you're going to have a baby within the next 24 hours. And she said, and I don't say things like that because I know how it can be, you know, in terms of making a statement like that. She said, but I really think you're going to have a baby in the next 24 hours.
Well, when I went to get adjusted, she didn't say, I think. She's like, you guys are having a baby.
Yeah.
She was clear by then. You all are having a baby in the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
And just again to say, during that time that you started timing them, or you started noticing them at 2:22, And a couple hours later, we're at the chiropractor. That's still within the window of contractions, mm-hmm. that the window of time that you had been experiencing for the past 5 days.
Yeah.
So you and I were kind of like, all right, we're going to take notice of this. But at the same time, this has been going on for 4 or 5 days now. So it was cool to hear Dr. Shannon say with such conviction that you guys are going to have a baby.
Ooh, I thought, okay, all right. And it was also cool to get adjusted within the 12-hour window of birth. That was pretty neat. And have that experience, the previous birth.
There's a whole, I mean, we're going to get to this. There's like a whole list of things that happened leading up to Naomi's birth that mm-hmm. didn't happen with Maya.
Yeah.
Things that were like preparing you for the experience.
So right.
You had a nice poop.
Yeah.
You got a nice adjustment.
Yes.
And after the adjustment, what do we do?
We went and picked up eggplant parm.
Got some eggplant parmesan. So you had a nice meal this time.
Yeah. And by the time we were eating that eggplant parm and you all were having whatever you were having and I'm eating a garlic knot, I started to think, okay, this is happening. It could be tomorrow, but we're in it. Like, this is happening. And my next thought was, gosh, I really hope I don't throw this up. In a few hours, I really don't want to see this eggplant parm come back up in a few hours. But at the same time, one thing that I vividly remember about Maya's birth is that I was pretty taxed. I had a low tank as far as food and hydration was concerned. And I was very adamant about being well-fueled for this birth. If I wasn't going to be able to sleep, like if it wasn't going to be a birth that started after a full night's sleep, I was going to do everything I could to be well-fueled. So I ate and just trusted, like, hey, if I'm going to throw up, I'm going to throw up, because I threw up in transition with Maya and I was drinking a lot. So yeah. I was drinking water and the hydration packs, those needed hydration packs. I have to put a plug in for the needed hydration packs. So, so amazing. Mixed it with some coconut water and I was feeling good as far as eating and drinking is concerned. And that was something I was very personally pleased with and kind of like proud of myself for making sure that I really was conscious of that.
I remember picking up the eggplant parm when Maya and I went into the restaurant and we got a big black and white cookie for you as well.
I love black and white cookies.
And I remember thinking, is this going to come back?
Yeah. Like, I didn't eat any of it.
No, you didn't. No,
Maya had it. I think that was a strategic, instinctual choice to not have a black and white cookie.
Well, I thought the eggplant parm might be coming back. But it didn't.
Yes. Okay. So continuing to move through the contractions after dinner, and we had some family time. So we put on AFV, America's Funniest Home Videos.
That's our show.
Maya loves it. Love, love, loves it. So we had that on in the background, which oddly enough, I didn't look at the TV a whole lot. I knew it was going on, but something about watching other people like get hit in the groin, all the things while I was moving through contraction was really not the thing to do.
That's so funny.
And every once in a while, I would get down on all fours. Maya would get on the floor with me and breathe with me. At this point, we're probably around like 7 o'clock, maybe.
So yeah, I would say, because we ate dinner around 5, 6,
yeah.
and then we're doing our family time, mm-hmm. and you are on the floor in front of the couch.
Which we have pictures of, which is cool. And then I remember walking up and down the hallway a little bit, same thing. I got on all fours in the middle of the hallway, and you snapped a photo of Maya kind of in tabletop with me.
With you, yeah.
And at that point, too, I think we both either just knew, or maybe I said the word, let's reach out to Amanda as a heads up, because maybe we don't need them until the early morning hours, but it would be nice to give them a heads up, like to do whatever they need to do. Maybe they need to cancel plans. Maybe they need to, you know, Amanda has kids. Maybe she needs to arrange for her kids or something. So we reached out to Amanda, and I have screenshots of that on my phone actually to keep just for the future of when you reached out to Amanda, just letting her know and stuff.
What time was that?
6:18.
Okay. So at 6:18, we reached out to Amanda.
Yep.
I had a whiteboard,
uh-huh.
and at 7:06 is when I started using the whiteboard to track the contractions.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when my log of things start, and everything is 1 minute apart.
Yeah.
Excuse me. They lasted for 1 minute, and they were anywhere from 8 to 10 minutes apart.
Yeah. So you said, hey, Amanda, this is Matthew using Sarah's phone. Sarah just had a bit of bloody show. Okay. So that started happening. Contractions have been steady since about 3 p.m. In the last hour, they're lasting about 45 seconds and are coming every 5 to 7 minutes. Just a heads up. And so then you guys spoke
on
the
phone.
That's
a great message, by the way.
Great job, Matthew.
Yeah.
Great job.
She got all the necessary information,
yep,
I think.
Yep, yep. And then there was a check-in a little bit after that, and you just said we were flowing steadily. Nothing's really picked up since you guys spoke on the phone. Still about contractions lasting around a minute and around 5 to 7 minutes apart and of medium intensity. And that was a thing you guys were talking about too, because I thought this isn't that intense.
Yeah.
And that can be misleading, especially yes. if you're a second, third, fourth time birther, like that might not necessarily mean it's not happening and it's not productive.
You've heard so many stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So many stories where it's like, oh, it wasn't that intense. And all of a sudden, baby's coming.
Mm-hmm. So Amanda actually said to you, I'll remind you that labor doesn't have to feel as intense as she will recall with Maya for it to be moving along.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. We moved into the bathroom where I wanted to get in the bathtub. And that was similar to our birth with Maya. I wanted to hang out in the bathtub. So this isn't the blow up birth pool we're talking here. We're talking just the normal sized bathtub in our bathroom. And Maya hung out on the floor of the bathroom while I sat in the bathtub and you sat on the toilet closed, not using the bathroom. You were sitting there hanging out just in case anyone needed that clarification. And you were continuing to time and just kind of be a support. And you have a photo of that too, of Maya
it's
hanging
the
out.
Sweetest.
Yeah.
It's the sweetest photo. So
yep.
It was at 8:50 that we made that transition into the bathtub.
Okay.
This is...
Wow, time goes by fast, huh?
Yeah, it's a good hour past Maya's bedtime. So she was exhausted. So we're clear that things are happening at this point. Another thing to note with you and this time around with this labor was you were able to communicate in between the contractions.
Yes.
That was not the case with Maya. With Maya, it was when it started, you were locked in. Mm-hmm. You were fully locked in, and that, you know, it was game on.
Yeah.
But while we were watching AFV and while we were doing that stuff, you know, you would feel the pressure wave contraction and then we would chit chat and we would crack jokes and then you would feel another one.
Yeah.
So
thank you for reminding me of that, because that is a very significant difference and probably the biggest one I would share is with Maya, it felt like one long, dragged out, dull contraction from which I really didn't come out of. And I was very internal and I was very quiet and just with that. And I really, if I did communicate, it was very short and it was for essential purposes. It wasn't to like have dialogue about anything. Whereas with Naomi's birth, they were so sharp and intense for that minute. And then when it was over, I could hold a conversation. I could crack a joke. I could, that was very bizarre for me to have this very clear, like an off and on switch. It was very interesting, but I would say the contractions were more intense. They were sharp. They were very sharp. And
well, it allowed, during those couple hours when you were feeling them, it allowed Maya to participate in the movements, getting on all fours. That's what we were talking about. And then you moved into the bathtub. We all followed you into the bathroom. We took that beautiful photo. And this feels like a great time to take our first break. What do you think?
Yes, let's do it.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So that pause was fitting because we actually had to physically pause to go take care of the baby for a little bit.
Yes, we did.
Because we thought she was asleep. And she said, nah, guys, I'm awake. So here we are. And also, I think it's important to mention, because it's part of the story and I think it's a very fitting backdrop, there was a crazy thunderstorm that night. Crazy. Do you remember it?
Oh, absolutely. It was like loud claps of thunder, lightning, and the power was flickering a little bit.
A little bit. I just thought,
That'd be interesting.
I don't mind birthing to candlelight, but I want power. Like, I want that ability.
Power would be nice.
And I remember later members of our birth team mentioning the torrential downpour that they were driving in to get to our house. And some of them said they could barely see the road in front of them because it was late at night by that point. So since moving out of our bathroom and that bathtub, we moved into the bedroom. And also note that Maya fell asleep on the bathroom floor. So you carried her to bed.
Yep.
And then it was just you and me. And that was really sweet to have that time of just you and me. And it was very clear the baby was coming at some point.
Yeah.
Again, still didn't know boy or girl. So who is this human that's going to come meet us? I remember taking a photo in our bedroom mirror that's on the back of our door, taking a photo of my body. I had the wherewithal, I guess, in between contractions to think, oh, I just want to document this real quick, just my body right before it goes through this experience and the last moments of having baby inside me. And so we reached out to the team. We reached out to Amanda again and however that was going to assemble. And then we also reached out to Ellie, our birth photographer, who is amazing. And I'm excited for you to see her work. It's really beautiful.
And you didn't have to reach out to anybody.
I didn't. This was you. Yes, yes, yes.
You were focused. You were focused on
the task at hand.
And prior to, of course, labor starting, we had set up the phone tree. And so I reached out to the people that I needed to. And then the message started to spread.
Right, right.
I think I sent our friend Erica some sort of emoji, like, it's go time or something like.
Because you had just gotten into GIFs around this time. You had just a jiffy.
I feel like now I'm hip to what the kids are doing using the gift gifs.
Yeah, the gift gifs. So anyway, you did that. And then we could just be present. And I remember being in our bedroom and we had the birth ball in there or a yoga ball. And so I was bouncing on that for a bit, moving around. More movement this time in this birth than with Maya. With Maya, I stayed in the birth tub 90% of the time, did one walk up and down the hallway, which I did not want to do, but I was encouraged to do, and I it was a good move at the time. But anyway, I moved around a lot more. I did hip circles and, you know, had the light bounces on the ball and got on all fours and moving with those contractions, the waves and the intensity of them. Debbie and Amanda and Ellie pretty much simultaneously arrived just about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And checked the scene out and just kind of assimilated and got into the space.
And what was great is, again, it's 10 p.m. It's raining outside. It's dark. It's still. You know what I mean? Like we had a wonderful ambiance, I'd say, for getting into that really serious space of birthing the baby, which was wonderful. It reminds me of what happened with Maya those few hours prior to our birth team arriving.
Yeah. And Amanda asked me, would you like a cervical check? Now would be a good time to do it. If you're open to it, of course, totally up to you. And I was open to it just to have information. One thing that I will say was a theme throughout this pregnancy was we had really great dialogue with our care team in the sense of there was evidence-based conversations. There was ultimately, it is your choice, informed choice. We're cool either way. Here are the risks involved in any of the scenarios and whatever you choose. So I felt comfortable with that check. And I did not want to know how dilated I was or anything like that. And I would later ask and later find out that I was about 7. Mm-hmm. But that only means something if it means something.
Yeah.
So there's that. True. And at about 11 o'clock into the birth pool. So you had filled up the birth pool during that time when Amanda was just, we were just kind of hanging out and talking and we got the water all going and got into the birth pool.
I think I had the birth pool blown up for
days.
Maybe a week.
It had already been blown up. Yes, yeah. That's something. Y'all, this comes up so much on the podcast.
And I was not about to be, you know, like
that story.
Scrambling. Yeah. So I would say at least a week before, you know, the show started, the birth pool was filled up or was blown up sitting in our office. And then I even had to put air in it a second time because you know, so many days had gone by.
Right.
So when we knew it was time, just rolled that sucker right into the baby's room. Got the tarp down and then filled it up.
Yep. So we got into the birth pool and you started playing my playlist.
What did it feel like, real quick? What did it feel like to transition into the water?
It felt nice. It felt kind of how I had remembered it the first time. Like, ah, this is lovely. This warm water, a little bit of buoyancy, a little bit of weightlessness. And I like water. So I had thought I might birth in the water. That was something I was going in with a possibility and an intention of. And I was open to whatever needed to happen, but I thought about it. So I was pleased to be getting into the tub.
And just to, again, set the scene, we're in a different room than we were for Maya's birth. Mm-hmm. For Maya's birth, we were in our master bedroom. We had a queen-size bed at the time.
Yeah.
And it's a small room. So it's queen-size bed with a birth pool. You couldn't fit much else in there. This time, we were in the room across the hall, which is the baby's room.
Right.
And all we had in there was a crib, a dresser.
And that's it. And a rocker.
A chair.
Yeah.
So with the birth pool in there, there was a lot more room. So I felt more comfortable sitting. We had Debbie and Amanda in there. And then we had Ellie, who was just sort of floating, doing her thing, taking pictures. So a little bit more space this time, which was nice.
Yes. And you put on my playlist, like I said, and I had three different versions.
Three.
So I didn't know how the mood was going to be. So I had three versions. One was going to be very tranquil, very chill.
Lots of Enya.
No Enya specifically, but Enya vibes. Then the other one was if it was a little bopping. Like if it was me, I think this would have gone if labor was happening during the day and it was really early in it. I don't know what kind of scenario, but this would have been a little bit more upbeat.
Like a Beyonce list?
Yeah, let's call it that. Again, I don't think specifically there was Beyonce, but that vibe. And then the third was just ambient, like megahertz, thousand, whatever, to the binaural beats, like that sort of thing. Yeah. So those were my options. And I went with that tranquil one and it was the perfect setting. And it was a beautiful space. This room we had transformed before becoming pregnant in our conception journey. I had earmarked this room to be the nursery. And then as we were going through the 2 years, I thought, I'm not going to keep waiting. I'm going to make this a beautiful space for myself until or whenever we get pregnant. So the wall is this beautiful, rich, it's called Rainy Day, which is funny. It's called Rainy Day, the color of the blue of the wall. And there's these rich, beautiful, flowery curtains and lace underneath the curtains. And we have oxytocin up on the wall, a literal wooden carving of the oxytocin molecule. And it's just this beautiful space. And to have that music and then to be in the water and have you with me, Ellie's doing her thing, Amanda's there, and Debbie did end up coming. So as we mentioned, you know, Debbie wasn't feeling well, but she said she was never going to miss this birth. She said, so she just kind of hung out in the background, and then that was the space. And Amanda recommended doing what's called the rotisserie chicken.
Which is what it sounds like.
It is what it sounds like. But when she first said it, I was like, what? I'm about to eat a chicken? Like, what's happening? And the rotisserie chicken is essentially having about 5 contractions in each position you can be in the birth pool. So on your knees, then on your side, then on your back, then on your other side, and then back to your knees or kind of leaning on your elbows over the edge of the pool. And so that was the rotisserie chicken. And so that's what started around 11 o'clock was the pool and the rotisserie chicken and the music. And you were there. And one song that really stuck out for me was originally an ABBA song, and it's in Mamma Mia 2. And Maya and I love Mamma Mia and Mamma Mia 2. We've watched the movies together and she loves the music and sings it all. And they slightly modified this song, I've Been Waiting for You, in Mamma Mia 2. And it plays over it's the backdrop of a birth scene, a very beautiful birth scene. And I put that song on the playlist and that song played, and it's just talking about being so excited to meet your baby, essentially, and how I've been waiting for you. And it was
perfect.
So beautiful and emotional. And at that time, think you let me know some of our other team was assembling. So we kind of had like a first tier, if you will, and like a second tier of the team, meaning the team that was right there up in center the whole time. And then team members that were called upon to come into the room when I asked for them and things like that. And they could kind of allow you a second to use the bathroom or get food or water or whatever you needed to do. And so that kind of started at that point too. I called some people in one by one and had some sisterly love and goddess energy that was really beautiful.
And before we get into this phase, I wanted to go back about my thoughts on that time in the room. Uh-huh. Because it stood out to me so much because we had talked about what you wanted to experience in this birth. And I remember sitting in that room, the music was playing, you were just breathing through the contractions, softly doing your thing in the water. And myself, Debbie, Amanda, and Ellie are just sitting there. Debbie was on her computer taking notes. Amanda was just watching. Ellie was snapping photos or just sitting down. And this music was playing. And I was just struck with this feeling of, wow, like this is unfolding the way that Sarah had envisioned it. And it was so cool. It was so cool because there were times in Maya's birth where it wasn't necessarily unfolding the way that you had envisioned. So to set those intentions, to have that vision, and to just experience it in real time unfold that way was very cool for me. Mm. And so I actually stepped out of the room and I took out my camera and I recorded. Mm. And I started in the hallway and you can hear, it was like one of the classical.
It was a classical, yeah.
Yeah, it was a classical music song you had and you could hear in the background. And then I just panned into the room and it was so chill. It was so peaceful. Like my phone was having a hard time picking up the light because it was such dim lighting in there and no one was talking. And it was just, you know, everything was unfolding as it was supposed to. And that stands out to me. Mm-hmm. That was a really great moment. And then the rest of our team arrived, you know, and one by one, you would request to have people come into the room. So I would go out to the living room and we had expressed to everybody beforehand, hey, the living room with the TV and the kitchen, that's all the staging area.
Sure.
Bring food, watch what you want, hang out, have fun, play cards. And then one by one, people, what you would say, I would like to, you know, see Nancy or I'd like to see Erica. And so by, you know, people would come into the room. So
yeah. That was beautiful. Yeah. So I'm feeling myself back there.
Yeah.
Again, as we're talking about it in a really beautiful, sweet way, because like we mentioned, these last 3 months have been crazy, and I just don't think I felt as connected to the birth story because of how wild the last 3 months have been. And even in those first couple of days, it was blissful and delirious, but the birth was also very intense for me in different ways. And so it's just taken a while to be at this point of talking about it. Anyway, another thing, which we'll have to have a sidebar conversation with Maya about this experience, because mind you, she's still sleeping during this time. But one of the things she will comment on, I imagine, is during that video, I think you captured this too, our hallway was lined with the equipment, all the gear, the bags and the midwife gear was all lining the hallway. So that was part of the scene as well. So I got out of the water a couple of times to use the bathroom, and at one point I had a banana, which was really great, and another electrolyte drink, another hydration support pack, and then at one point I was kind of over the water. I didn't want to go back in anymore, and let's see, that was probably about, looks like 1 o'clock, so 11 to 12, 12 to 1. Yeah, so I was in the water total in and out for some bathroom breaks for about 2 hours. And something just instinctually in me, I just didn't feel like getting back in the water. I was kind of tired of getting out to use the bathroom and being wet and having to dry off and then get back in and just getting cold and that sensation. And then I was getting kind of pruney on my fingers and such. And I just felt like it was time to move on. And I'm really, really glad that I followed that intuition, because that'll kind of have a part to play later on in birthing in the water versus birthing on land. And so I think it was just instinct moving through me to be complete with the water. And so then that led to being on the bed for a bit. And those were intense. That was intense on the bed. I was way more vocal this labor than last labor. And I just let it be what it was and moved with it. And one thing I'll say is I just wanted you there the entire time with me. I wanted some sort of contact with you, hands, something with you the entire time. There was one brief portion that I recall you leaving the room when I was still in the tub, and it was to do something. You had to take care of something. And I remember just thinking, come back. I don't want you to go. And so the intimacy was very real for me, very palpable for me having you there. And I very much felt your incredible support, and as much as you could be in it with me, I believe you were. And so that was very magical for me. And we're on the bed, and then let's see, at 1:20, the comment on the chart here is bag of waters. Let's talk about the bag of waters for a second. So I'm lying on the bed, and I'm kind of on my side because I just had moved around a bit, and I'm on my side, and I look at Amanda, and I said something to the extent of, I feel a lot of pressure. I feel something different, like as if something's coming out of me, but I don't think it's the baby, because if it's the baby, I feel like I would feel more, I guess. It was a very odd sensation to be feeling. And they're kind of seeing this bulge, the bag of intact waters, and they're thinking, oh, okay, cool. And there's a possibility, or I guess there's a trend or a likelihood that if that's about to pass, the baby could be very close behind. So that was when you got the cue. If you want Maya to be a part of this and want Maya to be awake for the birth, now would be the time to get Maya. Right?
And it seemed like things were about to happen real fast. Uh-huh. Just in your energy and your vocalizing and your face, it was like, oh, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you're on your side. And your leg is up in the air. And I think Amanda is supporting your leg.
Yep.
And so they then made it real clear, hey, this could happen right now.
Right.
So I think we had the rest of our team in the room. I think, was it Nancy that went and got Maya?
Someone did.
Somebody went, and I walked out after them, and Maya was woken up, awoken.
Awakened.
Awakened. And she comes into the room to... you know, a scene.
Yeah, yeah.
All the people.
Quite a lot to wake up to at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah. And everybody there she knew. She knows everybody who was part of our team extraordinarily well. And she saw you on the bed, and she just flowed right into it. You know, we had done so much prep with her, talking about the noises and talking about your body. And man, she just kind of tucked over with me. And then she was right there like, thanks for waking me up. Yeah. I'm here for this show.
She was right there.
Yeah.
And so the bag of waters comes out.
Yeah.
This balloon of intact water comes out of me.
And stays intact.
I couldn't see that, but I would later see it in the photos, and then you could see it, obviously.
It was wild. Because it looks like this water balloon full of cloudy, milky liquid. And I'm looking at it like, oh, wow, okay. And they're saying, oh, it's the bag of waters. And then it just comes out fully, like like a big, full water balloon that was still attached to you. And still, it was so, and just sat there for a little while.
It was strange to feel as well, telling you from this side. It was interesting. And so,
it was amazing.
Here's where some things got goofy for me mentally, because this bag of waters comes out. You felt the energy rise up in the room. It was palpable, because I think there was this anticipation for a baby to be coming very shortly after.
Yes.
And I kind of felt that. And I thought, the baby's coming? Like, the baby's coming? Like, is the head there? Like, I started to do this mental back and forth. But I didn't feel like the baby was coming. I didn't feel pushy. I didn't feel like that's what was happening, yet the energy was saying that's what was happening. So I was very confused. And it created in me this thought of, okay, well, how much longer am I here like this for then? And do I want to just have the baby on the bed? Because if the baby's right there, I'll just push out the baby on the bed. That's fine. I never thought I'd be kind of on my back or anything close to that. But if we're here, let's do it. I'm cool. And so at that point, I did kind of get on my back, but was propped up a little bit. And I was still having contractions, but it wasn't the like push feeling. And yet it seemed like everyone was waiting for that to happen. And so I think to just reset my mind and kind of go inward and not look at anyone, I got onto all fours and just kind of buried my head down for a bit. And I thought, okay, well, if the baby is coming, maybe I could push the baby out like this. And in one version of my vision of the birth, I thought about being on all fours and kind of grabbing baby from that angle. But nothing was happening. I wasn't feeling anything. And I just thought, this isn't productive. And like my legs were getting tired from being in that position. And I just thought, I'm going to end up wearing myself out. And so turned back over. And that's when I said, I want the birth stool.
Yeah.
Let's do the birth stool. And I did not think that's what I would want. I didn't think I would even see that thing again or sit on it again. Not that I have any bad thing against the birth stool, but I guess I just thought I would want something different. And yet here I was asking for the birth stool.
Do you think it was partially because it was a new position, or was it that it was familiar to you? Why do you think that after going from the water to the bed on your side, bed on your back?
I felt like with that hiccup, that confusion of thinking the baby was coming, but the baby wasn't coming, and then not feeling the urge to push, yet knowing like we were moving along and it was getting closer to that happening. I just thought, what if I don't feel as strong in my ability to push out in this position on the bed, whereas I know I can do it on the stool? So I guess. I just felt like if things have stalled a little bit, I believe that the stool will bring the momentum back in.
Makes sense.
That's what I wanted.
Makes sense.
Yeah. You want to pause here?
Let's do it.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
So here we are. The birth stool is coming back into play. Birth stool is brought to me. Now we're in our bedroom, almost in the exact same place Maya was born. Different bed, different setup, much less space. And I'm on the stool by myself. You're in front of me. Maya's in front of me. Debbie's in front of me. Amanda is just kind of behind her. And then different collections of the remaining, well, Ellie, of course, is around. And then 1, 2, 3, 5 people kind of at any given point. I really wasn't paying attention to them too much, obviously, but they were there. Like you could just sense them, whether they were in the hallway or right at the doorway. And
the reason why I was down in front of you with Maya is because I was going to catch baby.
Yes, yes.
I was so determined to catch this baby, whereas with Maya, I was behind you on a yoga ball supporting you. And so I wanted a different experience. So that's why Maya and I were right there, just ready.
Yeah. And I did not feel like I needed anyone behind me. I didn't feel like I needed that support like I did with Maya's birth, because you were behind me for Maya's birth. And I felt this is where I started to feel confident in the sense of like, okay, I've done this before. I know what's about to happen kind of thing. But it was so intense, so much more intense from the beginning of sitting on that stool than when I sat on the stool to birth Maya. When I sat on the stool to birth Maya, I had to get the feel for what my body was about to do, and I had to get familiar with it, and I had to practice almost. This was, I said I wanted momentum. I got momentum. So I'm sitting on this stool, and one thing I will note that I did different in labor is I wore a bra this time. When I birthed Maya, I was totally naked the whole time. And especially sitting on the stool while pushing, my boobs were like atop my belly. And you're doing a very rigorous, intense thing. And I remember, and you can see in the videos, all birthing mine, I'm constantly like lifting them up to wipe the sweat underneath my boobs because I was so uncomfortable. And these things were just hanging there. And so like a other sporting event or a physical athletic endeavor, I wanted a sports bra this time. And I'm very glad I made that choice. So it was very strategic, not necessarily for modesty. And I'm very happy I went with that this time. So here I am on the stool wearing my sports bra. And the feeling, the physicality of it, I don't know any sophisticated way to say this. It was all in my butt. All around my rectum and anus is where I felt the intensity of these contractions and of baby moving further down. It was not as much vaginally. Like you could have convinced me that the baby was going to come out of my butt based on how intense it felt in that area. That's what I have to say about that.
That's wild. I have no idea what that could even.
So intense. And again, here I am. I get that thought of that mental confusion of how long am I going to be here? Because if it's going to be this intense for an hour plus, 2 hours plus, I don't know. Kill me then. Because that goes through your mind. And here I am, all about home birth, all about empowered birth, however you want to do it. And I'm thinking to myself, if someone gives you an out right now in this moment, an out meaning we'll take all your pain away, and you don't take it, you're dumb. Like, you're crazy. That's going through my mind. And I played the hypothetical game for half a second of, okay, if I really wanted to go to the hospital right now, how would that even go? How would that scenario go down? I wouldn't make it. Like, we're not going to the hospital. That's not happening. But it's there. And it might not be there for everyone, but it came up for me, this thought of God, powers that be, all the deities, all the angels and saints, either end this or end me. Because, and I don't think you have to, but I think many come to that splitting feeling of other worlds and leaving this plane to go get your baby and death looking at you in the corner. Like, I think that's something that you come to, the walking the coals, It was just very, very intense. And I had this feeling of, if I get through this, I won't do this again. I'm complete. Like, I don't want to do this again. That came up too. And to allow myself now, it's taken months, but to allow myself to let all of it coexist, that I could have an empowering, magical birth the way I wanted it, the way I envisioned it, and could have those moments of transcendental fear and crisis and existential woe of what's happening to me, this is insane. And so I went through that, and I struggled a bit with allowing myself to feel that way and to even think that part of my birth, albeit a birth that went down the way I wanted it to, but part of it was traumatic for me.
And so it was in those moments where you were facing all of that, that did it have you question the magic of the birth?
No, that's a good question. I would not say that. No. It's just this huge thing that, like, I have reverence for, and even in that moment could have the awe for, but I just, it was just so intense.
Yeah.
It was so physically intense. It was so, like, Maya's there, you're there. It was just a lot.
I remember watching you go through
this
experience. How long would you say that you were on that stool before baby descended?
About 20 minutes is what the timing puts it at.
I imagine it felt a lot longer because it felt a lot longer watching you.
Yeah.
And I just remember Because we're sitting there, Maya and I, my hand is underneath, like waiting for whatever, whenever the baby's going to come. And I would go between looking down at my hand and looking up at you. And whenever I would look up at you, you were in a different place. Like the look on your eyes, it mirrored the intensity you were feeling. And it looked like you were just in a different plane going through the experience. Yeah. And by that, I mean, you would be looking straight ahead, but you weren't looking at anyone.
Yeah.
You know, like you would look in my direction, but you weren't looking at me.
Yeah. And I get what you're saying.
I would affirm you and other people would send affirmations and you might look at them, but there wasn't like, I'm going to look you in the eye and connect with you in this moment because you were having your experience. So the intensity that you described, it looked intense from my perspective, from where I was sitting. And you looked like a person who was very locked in on an intense experience.
Yeah.
Like an athlete who was very locked in, had that look in your eyes. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was amazing for Maya to see you in that, in that way, in that space, with that strength, like going through it.
Yeah. And I was very vocal. I was very loud. Up against that storm, I was competing with the thunder.
I don't remember you being as loud as
it felt like it. I felt hoarse after.
Yeah.
Like my throat was sore after.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I'm sure everybody has a different experience.
Sure. Yeah. We haven't really done a round robin
kind of
breakdown. That would be cool to do. But one thing that'll ground you a little bit is as things were getting closer, I felt it. I knew I felt it. And so I said it out loud. I said, I have to poop. Like, I feel like I have to poop. And I remember Debbie just saying, okay, it's totally cool. And I know it's totally cool. And I know it's totally cool, but there's something so crazy humbling about shitting in front of a room of people. And it sucked. I didn't like that part at all. If I could, Men in Black special silver device erase from my memory just that moment, because I was just like, pushing as if I was pushing a baby out, but I'm pooping. And Maya will talk about that part for sure, because that was very memorable for her and how stinky it was. And I'm on the stool, so it's just going into this bag, and and so when that happened, I had a little kind of reset, like back into this plane, and I looked around the room and I felt suffocated. And I said, thank God I was able to vocalize it, because I know sometimes women can't vocalize something that comes up for them, but thank God I had whatever I had that I could say, I need space, I need the room clear. And so the kind of secondary folks stepped out, and it left basically, or all I remember, and you can speak to this, was you and Debbie and kind of Amanda. That's all I really, maybe Maya, but Maya, that's what I remember happening at that point. And I needed that at that point, because I think I was starting to hit some mental walls, like I said, just coming out of all these chats with God and then pooping myself. And now here I'm at thinking, how much longer is this? And how much influence do I have over how much longer is this? And so I wouldn't call it fetal ejection reflex. We've talked about that a lot on the show and heard a lot about that. I would not say that, because there wasn't this like shooting out, but I couldn't not push. I would say that, because fetal ejection is like your body's doing the pushing, like no matter what. For me, I was definitely pushing, but I had to. There was nothing that could have stopped me from pushing. So I feel like there's a subtle nuance difference there. It wasn't my body ejecting the baby out. Like I was very much pushing, but I had to.
It you looked like you were doing all the pushing.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yep.
And that was a fascinating experience for me, because when you did start pushing and it was really clear, okay, baby is there. You know, Debbie did a quick glance and said, I can see the head. Mm. And so at that point, you know, she's telling me, scoot closer, because baby could come out at any moment. And you're pushing with such intensity. Mm. That's when you started to get vocal.
Oof.
And what was wild is I'm watching, and I'm seeing your body expand and I'm seeing baby's head come down. And with every roar of your push and what seemed like you were doing everything to move mountains, her head would come out like a millimeter. And then you would breathe and do it again and it would come out another millimeter. It seemed like such a slow progress. Mm-hmm. And you were doing it. You know, you were pushing baby out until...
Yep.
Until her head fully came out.
Yep. So just for reference, got on the birth stool at about 2 a.m. And at 2:20, her body came out of my body.
And that was wild. So... what do you remember from the moment she came out? And then I'll share what I remember.
Okay.
From the moment
she came remember out. Feeling very clearly the descent and like, oh, a baby's coming out of me. I've felt this before. This is a baby coming out of me. And I knew you were going to catch him or her. So I had total trust in that. And I feel baby come out. I can see as I look down, a baby has come out of me. You have scooped up the baby. And then had to have been a millisecond, you know, how this all goes down. I just saw all of the liquids coming out of me too onto baby's face as baby was kind of scooped by you. And I just thought, oh, I don't want that happening. Just this, again, happening in a millisecond, but my mind went with, oh, I don't want all this fluid flopping on the baby. So from your hands, I scooped the baby up, brought the baby to my chest. I can see nothing beyond the baby. So I'm not seeing anything of what you're seeing. I just see a baby on my chest and I instinctually very quickly like sucked on baby's face because I had heard about that and I had seen that in other births that when there was some fluid and if they did need to be suctioned that mom could just do it in a very primal, beautiful way. So I sucked on this baby's face and then it seemed like everything was fine and there was just something about this birth. Whereas with Maya, I was very... what's going on? What's happening? Is the baby okay? Am I okay? What's going on? With this, I just knew the baby was okay. I just knew. I knew everything was okay despite whatever might have been happening or you might have been seeing. I knew everything was okay. And so I immediately said to baby, hi, I'm so happy to see you. I'm so happy you're here. And that was my initial second perspective of baby coming out.
I love that. I love hearing that part.
Okay.
Because there's parts of that that I didn't experience. Uh-huh. I didn't see. So you're pushing millimeter by millimeter. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it's hours of you pushing as me witnessing it. Baby's head is coming out. And I'm seeing on top of her head what I think is her umbilical cord.
Yeah.
And so there's this like thick cord looking thing, and it has a squiggle in it. And so it looks like a thick cord. And as her head starts to come out, the cord is covered in hair. And I'm like, what is this thing? Sarah, it was tripping me out. And so as her head's coming out, I'm thinking, oh, there is something physically wrong with her.
Mm.
Like that's not supposed to be there. And so I had a split second moment of, oh my goodness, like what am I looking at? And then I had the realization, okay, if this was something really going on,
yeah,
Debbie would be signaling Amanda to be calling somebody. You know what I mean? Like something happening. So that's not going on. So Matthew, chill the F out. So then I have my hands there and I'm just focused on, catch his baby, right? Like I'm gonna catch his baby.
Don't flip.
Because, you know, in the bottom of the trash bag was stuff I didn't want the baby to get into.
Like poop.
Yeah, like poop. And so then millimeter by millimeter by millimeter. And then it was like baby got past her ear. And then all of a sudden,
the rest.
She just dropped.
Yeah.
Like
there's that birth stool, that gravity for you.
Just dropped, like having a bag full of tools that you just upside down, you unzip it. They just all fell, boom, and she just fell right out.
Uh-huh.
And I caught her and scooped, and as you said, the cascade of fluids just poured. And so I caught her, scooped her out, and as I'm bringing her up, you were in action.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm bringing her up, expecting to hand her to you, and I bring up and I look up and you're there already. And so here's the baby, and you grab baby and bring baby up. And when you do that, I got splashed in the face. Uh-huh. I got splashed in the eye with
all stuff.
The fluid. And so I'm rubbing my eye, and there's a picture of me, and there's a video of me like smiling, like, oh, my baby just came. And I'm rubbing the juices out of my eye. And I didn't even know that you had suctioned her face. I had no idea. And I remember hearing that afterwards and thinking, that was such a badass move. Like, that to me is so maternal, instinctual, like, you know, just to put your mouth over her face and suck out all the stuff. I thought that was so cool that you did that.
I don't think she needed it, but it was just something that I did. And when I had seen it in a birth, similar to what you're saying, I thought, would I do that? Would yeah. Would I do that? Would I? And I, apparently I would and yeah. did and do. But
that's it's like hearing people say, like, oh, yeah, you know, you change diapers, you get a little baby poop on your finger, you just wipe it on your pants and
right?
keep it moving.
You think, never.
Like, oh, I would never
I would
do that.
Never.
And then, yeah, I've definitely done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's like, some on me right now, probably.
Wipe it and keep going. So,
please say what your additional perspective is that I had no sight on. I had no cognizance of what was happening.
So, baby comes out. She gets handed to you. I get splashed in the face with some fluid. I'm rubbing my eyes. The room is like, oh, the baby's here. And then I look over at you, and what I see is you're covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
Dark, deep, red blood.
Well, you said, too, that as I lifted her, this kind of geyser.
It, like, sprayed.
Because of how I lifted her, and you'll hear why it
Yeah. So I got
sprayed
hit in the face
when I lifted
with,
her in a second.
Not with blood. I got splashed with something
yeah,
else.
Yeah, all the amniotic fluid.
And so then I see the blood, and I hear you, you know, in your amazing queen way, just talking to baby and just being so confident. I remember experiencing you like so confident with that moment. Like, hey, baby.
I felt you're awesome. So much more confident.
Yeah.
With Maya, I thought, what is this creature you just put on me? And what do I do with it? With this baby, I was like, hi, I'm so excited to yep. see you. I'm so happy. I still didn't know boy or girl.
No, we didn't know
didn't
yet.
Didn't know.
So, yeah, we see blood.
Uh-huh.
So then at that point, Debbie and Amanda jump into action.
Yep.
Because Debbie had experienced that before with Maya. You know, yeah. you stood up and right after Maya came out and there was blood. So then it felt very reminiscent for me. It was like, wow, okay, here we are again. It's the blood show.
Isn't there a movie called There Will Be Blood?
Yes, there is.
That is a preface to my births, apparently. If we have a future one, we need to put on everything. There will be blood.
The title for Maya's birth story was like Star Wars and Kiddie Pools.
Yeah.
And this one will be There Will Be Blood, part two.
Yeah. And poop. There will be blood and poop.
So the blood.
So why was there blood like that?
Well, you share.
Her cord snapped.
Yeah.
Her cord had snapped as she came out. And so when I pulled her to me, again, I have no idea this is what's going on. I pull her to me. There is that splat, that splatter upward of blood because as I brought her to me, the blood that's coming out of her half of the cord that is now broken shot everywhere
like
as I lifted her. And then it subsequently was all over me as well.
Yep.
And so the springing into action was clamp, clamp on both sides of this broken cord for both me and her.
And Debbie and Amanda were on it so
quick.
Oh,
so, like I said, I had no idea what was happening. I did not know that the cord had snapped maybe for a few more minutes until I was on the bed and could tell that that's what happened.
Yeah.
But
we didn't know, like you and I, because like when we saw the blood, it was, okay, my job is to be with Sarah mm-hmm. and baby and Maya.
Yeah.
Because I was so aware of Maya being in the room, being present, and what is she going to think?
Right,
you know,
right.
This bleeding. So that was our job, was to just be with the girls. And then Amanda said this at one of our later appointments, that she doesn't normally bring the clamps into the room.
Mm.
Remember she said she normally leaves
she
the clamps in the
bag. Grabbing her stuff and everything. She almost didn't grab them.
But there was something, she's like, no, let me just grab these.
That's that divine intervention. There was
there
was something holding this whole experience that's beyond us. And I believe that played a part in that. And that's that. And the other thing to add there too is Debbie had been backseat the whole time, entire time. And now here I am on the stool. And when I got to the stool and things started getting intense on the birth stool, they didn't even have a conversation, Debbie and Amanda. This was a no-look pass,
switch roles,
instinctual situation where Amanda then got to the back and Debbie came more forward and was there to support you in catching baby. And again, that's another example, I feel, of just how there was this divine magic at work for this experience. So I'm shuffled to the bed once again. So while I didn't necessarily know all of what was going on, it was very reminiscent and deja vu for me. Like, oh, I've just birthed the baby and I got to be shuffled to the bed immediately. I've done this before.
Yeah.
And plopped on the bed and baby's on my chest, wrapped up in a towel. Amanda lets me know, because we had talked about this beforehand, shooting me with Pitocin, that is, just to help with any sort of bleeding situation. Well, here we are. And so Amanda lets me know, I'm going to shoot you in the leg with Pit. And I was like, okay, cool. So she does that. And interestingly, I remember with Maya's birth, because she was so quiet, I thought maybe there was something wrong with her. And so I remember asking, and it's in the video, is she okay? Is she okay?
Yeah.
This time, I just knew the baby was fine. I just knew. But I was a little not sure about me for a second because of all the blood that I could see was everywhere now as I'm lying on the bed. And I just looked at Amanda. I said, am I okay? And she said, yep, you're fine. And I was like, okay, cool. And that's all I needed. And then at that point, things had been clamped. And that's when we pulled the towel back. And Maya was standing there and you were standing there next to me.
I'll say even before that, before we revealed gender, we, in those moments of getting everything clamped and getting everything kind of stabilized, you know, you're on the bed, we're talking to baby, and I'm looking at baby, and she looked a little discolored.
Yeah, a little grayish.
She looked a little grayish.
She had lost some blood.
Yeah, and so, you know, Debbie, I think Debbie said it, you know, just rub her back.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and she was on my chest.
She was on your chest. Eyes were open. You know, she was crying, and but her just color was a little grayish, like you said. So that's what Maya and I were really doing. Maya was just in awe over the baby. I was rubbing baby's back, and you know,
she pinked fairly quickly.
She did,
and that's why there was no other cause for concern, and no other measurements were made, or actions taken, or things called, or anything like that, because it turned around so quickly,
very fast.
Yes,
I just remember that moment of like, oh wow. She's looking a little gray. And you know, babies come out looking all sorts of different colors,
sure, with
the vernix and all that. And she had a lot of that on her.
She was cheesy.
So when she latched
within 7 minutes,
yeah,
it's recorded here in the timing of things. So she was latched within 7 minutes,
and then she completely
immediately, totally different.
Like, everything was totally different after the latch. So that was, again, just so fascinating. There was like a 2-3 minute window right after both of these baby girls came out that was like, wait, okay, everything cool?
Keep us on our toes.
And then, as you were saying, we pull back the towel and
she's a girl.
And so we let Maya announce.
Maya was so excited.
She was so happy.
She announced to the room and said, it's a girl. And kind of down the hallway, because in the process of getting me to the bed, everyone who wasn't essential got pushed into the hallway.
Yeah.
And so she was able to make that announcement. And she is such a powerful manifester, because she wanted a baby sister from day one. And we knew at that moment that this was Naomi Rose. And we landed on Naomi days before birth.
Yeah, you kept coming to me like, Matthew, we have a boy's name, but we need a girl's name.
I just wanted a name, and I knew everything would be okay, but I wanted a name going into the birth. I just really did. That was something that just mattered to me.
Yeah.
And
we weren't going to not have a name.
I know, but we really brought it down to the wire, man.
I was joking with you at the different moments, like, you know, we'll just call it baby if it's a girl. But I remember you got serious with me, like, we need a name. So.
Yeah.
I went and got to work, and Naomi Rose was what we put out there. Cool. Actually, we put out there Naomi Luna.
We thought about Luna.
Let Maya choose the middle name, but
we landed on Rose. Naomi Rose.
Yeah, we landed on Rose. And so she's little Naomi Rose, and
there she was, again, latched within 7 minutes, and the most beautiful pictures
come
out of that whole experience from her coming out and when I scooped her, then the blood, it's really beautiful. Powerful and vibrant, and that's what it was. So I'm so grateful for that. And then all of us snuggled up on the bed together. I did tear again. Wasn't too thrilled about that, but it is what it is. And just got to hang out in bed for a while. And I had beef stew and tea brought to me, which is exactly what I wanted. Yeah. And we were all cozied up. And again, beautiful photos and moments from that time and space. And
we all did chest skin to skin.
Yeah.
Even Maya.
Yeah, even Maya.
It was those snuggles were so amazing.
Yeah.
Just like to have all of us in bed, mm-hmm. you know, with Maya there. She was so happy and she was so excited. And it was 2 something in the morning.
And that girl did not sleep.
Wide awake.
Until late that night.
Yeah,
she did not go to sleep.
All day.
She stayed up.
It was just so amazing.
And here we were, this now almost 3-year journey, including the time of pregnancy, but 2 years of conception journey. And here we were. And she was perfect. And it was just so magical. And so from the first contraction, watching the soccer match at 2:20-ish to now 2:20 in the morning holding our baby.
Yeah, I think we were saying that when we really started saying, when it was really happening.
More like 6-ish.
Like 6 something.
Yeah. But just to think that span of time from being on the couch thinking,
Yeah.
How drastically your life can change
in 8 hours
in that amount of time. And we snuggled. I got to shower, kind of hobbled a little bit to the shower there, and that felt great to just be in that hot water and shower everything off, and then be back in bed and get stitched up again. Not my favorite, but it's part of it. But I'm grateful to be able to do it from home. I'm certainly grateful I didn't have to go anywhere to have that happen. Yeah. So, you know, you just get shot up with some lidocaine. And then once the lidocaine kicks in, you don't really feel anything. But the lidocaine, it's not my favorite. And stitched up. And then here we are back in bed. And everyone was like out. Everyone was gone
was
except for Debbie
night.
And Amanda.
Yeah.
Everyone was tired. I get it. I was tired too. So everyone was clear out of there by like 4:30-ish, 5 o'clock maybe at the latest. Everyone was gone.
I mean, like the couple hours after baby came out, people were just passed out on the couches and sleeping on chairs and stuff, you know. And then some folks were up to hang out with Maya and do some art projects.
Like, which was cool.
They were just amazing. Our team was so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our midwife team, incredible. Ellie, photographer, was incredible. And then our team that really held things down, our family that held it down.
Yeah.
Like, so amazing. Like you said, you had beef stew.
Mm-hmm.
They had Maya entertained and was hanging out with her and just there throughout the different moments to support you, come into the room, you know, one or two at a time, and just to be there and give words of encouragement and rub your back. And like we do a great job of assembling a team.
Yeah. And there we were.
Yeah.
There we were, the four of us, family of four.
It's pretty wild. So we didn't have to Google this time how to sleep with a newborn.
We did not.
We just slept with her in between us.
Yeah. She was on my chest for some... I didn't sleep, I feel like, for the rest of that day. If I did, it was maybe like an hour here, an hour there, just because I was so... I mean, in the first couple hours, I had already lost count of how many times I had kissed her head.
I know.
Just because it was... Oh, and that smell. You can never get sick of that smell, the top of their head smell. And
I still... I mean, it's only been 3 months, so like I smell it as much as I can.
It's so incredible. And I just feel like there was a spiritual component to the birth as well. And I think there are threads of that in the unspoken stuff, like Amanda with the clamps, Debbie and Amanda switching up their lead and positioning role. And then Amanda would later share with us when she came for a postpartum visit that a word she would use to describe our birth was spiritual.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was really cool that could be the feedback from someone in the space and who had been with us on the journey. And interestingly enough, we typically set words for ourselves at the beginning of years. We've done it for maybe 5-6 years now. At the beginning of each new year, we think of a word that we kind of want to set for the tone of the year and the intention. And mine in 2022 was spiritual.
There you go.
And that was what I was playing for. And that was what I wanted to carry in once we found out we were pregnant in March. And then here we are at the end of November. So November 30th at 2:20 a.m., Naomi Rose was born. That put us at 40 weeks and 5 days. She was 8 pounds, 7 ounces and 21 inches of squishy goodness. And that's...
It was so different also to not know that she was a girl.
So like, different.
That was
so,
a different experience.
So different. It was so wild.
It made so many things just like... So different from the first time around, like the name to being able to, and we'll talk about this more in future episodes, but being able to feel connected. I think both of us, you know, because we didn't know she was a girl and we weren't calling her by her name.
It was baby.
It was baby. Yeah. And so I remember when she came out and she was a girl, it was kind of like, okay, great. I can now pour all of this energy and emotion.
Seeing her like that.
I can now direct this towards this little baby girl.
Specifically her, and this is her name. And totally.
It's so different.
I mean, for a while, we didn't even say her name for a while.
Yeah,
it was just baby this, baby that. And now we're saying Naomi more, I would say. But just that, it was definitely a significant component that was a differentiator from the last experience to this one.
I thought it was so fun though, just being able to be surprised.
Yeah, it was. Maya part of the surprise, I think it's very cool. And let's see. I think it would be great to talk to Maya. She's open to it. We talked to her, or I talked to her about doing a recording with her. And just to let you know, in case you're wondering, Maya thinks the experience was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
She is not traumatized in any way. I know you were saying you were kind of mindful of her with the blood and things like that. She has all sorts of cool things to say about the birth of her baby sister. And yes, she jokes about the poop and she mentions the blood, but she says that I was actually quieter than she thought I would be.
Yeah.
And she was excited to be there at times before getting on the birth stool. There are pictures of Amanda letting her put on gloves and stuff. And she was in it, man.
She really was.
So if anyone's wondering or like you're curious, she is A-okay. More than that, she loved being a part of the experience. So, and it was so beautiful to be able to have her there and normalize the experience, and she's going to remember it. She's going to remember the birth of her sister. That's so cool. So just wanted to share that.
The two of them over the past 3 months, I mean,
so
Maya
cute.
Is like such a stellar big sister.
We'll talk about that too.
We will.
The whole transition of 1 to 2 and everything. But to wrap up the birth story here, that was the birth.
If you could describe the birth in a couple of words, like if you could pick 3 words to describe it.
Intense, spiritual, confident.
I think I would say awe-inspiring. Peaceful.
Okay.
And wow.
Wow. That's a good one.
I say peaceful for those moments where it was just quiet
and
intimate. And
because it was. Very much was. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Gosh. Yeah, you're amazing.
I can't believe we did this. I can't believe we sat down and were able to record this.
It's taken us several hours with the starting and stopping.
Yeah. Stops, good grief.
The actual runtime of this is far shorter than when we started. I think Maya's finished 2 or 3 movies by now.
We did it. Oh my gosh. This feels almost as triumphant as the birth itself. I'm so happy to be bringing it to you, though. I am really happy to be sharing it. I'm so, so excited now to share the images and the pictures out there now that the story is there to match it. And Of course, if you have follow-up questions or anything you want to share with us about it, please feel free to send it our way, and maybe we can incorporate answers to any questions that you have in upcoming stuff about postpartum. And if you do have questions about postpartum specifically, feel free to send those, because I want to break down a lot of this, because it's been a lot. So I want to share and put it into separate conversations about those things. So thank you all so much for being a part of this with us, from putting it out there that we were trying, that we were open to conceive, to then being pregnant and sharing the pregnancy journey. And now here we are with the birth, and I'm sure there's so many more exciting things to come this year with doing it at home, and more stories to share, more of us to share. And then this journey now of postpartum and 1 to 2. Y'all are incredible. Thank you. Thank you so much, really, from the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah, thank you.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved? Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.